Hey, racing fans, Steve Wolf here for the International Equine Network. We've got a lot on the show today, and joining me, of course, the founder of the International Equine Network, Scott Miller. Scott, I heard everybody's vacated Sunshine Meadows by you.
Oh, Steve, it was a ghost town out here today. We had Brickledge took one of the last three loads out this morning, and you know, everybody else is out. We're down to just our show horses and our riding horse people. So we're at about 300 horses right now. So, you know, gives us time to catch up and, you know, get the farm ready for opening back up in September.
Well, it's a good thing that everyone's headed up north, because racing is going to get underway. It's going to be fanless, but it already started last was it last Friday with Scioto Downs, El Dorado Scioto Downs, the first track to open, and they're reaping the awards. And let me first off say, Scott Miller, you were right on the nose with your prediction of $1 million for opening night at Scioto Downs. They handled $1,054,000. So, and I know, and I've talked with Joe Morris, the vice president of racing there, and he's tickled pink, because their first four nights of racing at Scioto Downs, each has surpassed $1 million every night.
Oh, that's unbelievable. See, they might like his fanless racing.
Well, you know, to a degree, but not for the fans, because we got to remember an average racetrack will get maybe, let's say, 18 to 20% of every dollar wagered, which is then divvied up, you know, for purses and running the track and everything, whereas with simulcasting, we're talking what they call 3% money. But still, when you're taking in over $1 million a day in handle, you're making a little bit of money, and that's a good thing to get this sport underway. And it's not just Scioto Downs. Northfield Park has also opened, so they're the only two tracks currently in North America. But by next week, we're planning on having a number of other tracks going. But with go ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what about Pennsylvania? I've been following it close on the thoroughbreds, and, man, they look like they're not getting close.
No, not at all. Governor Wolf, I think he's got he's not happy with the horse racing situation. And he hasn't called for a date. They haven't allowed qualifiers yet, although I think the Meadows is getting set to have some. But he just has not pulled the trigger to allow these tracks to open, like in New York. And the same goes in New Jersey. New Jersey is going to hold qualifiers Friday afternoon at Gateway Farm, and then Saturday at the Meadowlands. Of course, Freehold is always closed this time of year. They don't open till mid to late August. But they're allowing qualifiers. But there's a caveat with that, and that has to do all with the coronavirus. And that is every horseman planning on coming to the Meadowlands, whether it's a trainer, a driver, a groom, they all have to be tested. They have to follow the guidelines that are set forth, and they'll have to be tested for coronavirus before they're allowed to come in, and that's just to qualify.
Now, let me ask you about the qualifiers at the farms in New Jersey, you know, will they have to do a protocol such as they do at the Meadowlands, or is it just going to be the horses that are there, or do they have ship-ins?
Well, right now, I'm looking that up. I can't tell you about Gateway. I would think that the New Jersey Racing Commission would not allow any employees or horse people to be involved with this without following the COVID-19 screenings. And that includes, you know, having all your proper ID and your state licenses. They're going to be, what do you call it? The employees will be responsible for the cost of the COVID-19 testing. They have to make appointments with virtual telehealth visits for the initial screening. They're going to have on-site drive-through testing. I'm pretty sure if anyone wants to qualify at Meadowlands or anywhere in New Jersey, meaning Gateway Farms, they're going to have to go to the Meadowlands and go through the testing and take care of all this. Some of it can be done online, which isn't bad, unless you're a really old horseman that doesn't do computers anymore, which there are some out there. But for the most part, they're all going to have to get tested. And I can, I guess I can relate to it, because this way they're going to make it as safe as possible for everyone to be together. And if everybody in the facility in qualifying has been tested negative for coronavirus, then they can have, you know, use all 10 races in the paddock. And this is, of course, right, going to be the best way to get live racing back, is to show that they're in compliance with running around and doing all this testing and getting it done. But unlike an awful lot of businesses and out there in the world, they're doing the right thing to get racing back going. So we have to abide by the rulings and go forward and just get it done. So the same thing's happening up in Canada. Canada's actually, Woodbine Raceway had their first qualifiers yesterday. I think they had 14 races. They've got 2-3 days in a row of qualifiers because they're trying to get ready for racing next week. And shortly, we're going to have a special. Go ahead.
Having said that, Steve, you know, a Gulfstream and a Tampa and Will Rogers Downs and Remington, they've held true to form ever since it started. And you know what? They do the testing, they do the protocol, they do everything, and they haven't had a problem yet. They've just kept
right.
on marching.
In other words, you're not going to be able to come on the grounds unless you've been tested, mm-hmm. and that covers all aspects. But
right.
this is a great way for all these racinos out there to be able to be prepared for when they open the slot machines and casinos back again. Because that's going to be another big issue to help racing, is that if you're sending out simulcasting, unless you're on a computer at home, you can't go to a racetrack or a simulcast outlet because they're all closed. So this will be a good way to come with us. In fact, we have a guest right now I want to introduce. He's getting ready to start racing real soon. His name is Gary Patterson, and he is what they call the facilities manager up in Ontario. Facility manager means I think he does everything but drive the horses. And we're honored today to have Gary Patterson with us. Gary, are you there?
I'm here, Steve. And yes, I have even fixed a couple of toilets in my time at Dresden Raceway. So, we pretty much do it all on a smaller track scale.
Well, we want to welcome you on the show. We want you to tell us a little bit about Dresden Raceway. I know Scott Miller's not that familiar with it. I know you're in Ontario, yeah. and you also have the nickname of Ontario's Little Saratoga.
Yes, and now that nickname is an ancient nickname that we probably drew back in the 70s. So Dresden Raceway, Scott, to fill you in a little bit more, we're located about 50 miles east of Detroit, Michigan. So we're just in southwestern Ontario, and we have a storied history at our racetrack. We've always had a wonderful history at Dresden, not just the community of Dresden, but Dresden Raceway. Guys like Shelley Goodrow, his father Fred Goodrow was stabled at Dresden Raceway, and Shelley Goodrow got his start there. John Campbell, the legend, the one, there's only one, right? When you talk about a Gretzky of a sport,
right.
it's John Campbell. And John Campbell used to bring his old horse Argyle Chester to Dresden, and he drove for his grandfather Dunk Campbell back when he was 16, 17 years old. Guys like Kevin Wallace have come through Dresden Raceway, and A Worthy Lad, of course, A Worthy Lad, one of the greatest trotters of all time here in Canada and in the world, was harness broke at Dresden Raceway under a gentleman by the name of Mark Austin as well. Bob McIntosh used to bring all of his babies back in the day, and he would school. It would be an event in itself. He would have there be 5 or 6 schooling races of all McIntosh horses back in the 80s and 90s. So We're located fairly close to McIntosh Stable, so we have we're entrenched in harness racing history in Dresden.
Oh, I know it for sure because you have a special event. I don't know, and I want to ask you how it's going to go this year, but you guys run what is called your Legends Day, and that is on my bucket list to get there, especially when things get better, because you guys put on a hell of a show that day.
We're just working on our Legends Day now, but that's the one who do a great job, Ian Fleming at Clinton Raceway, just down the road from
right.
They're about an hour and a half. They do the big Legends Day that they have, Ron Waples and everybody
okay.
come. And so we're very similar to Clinton. And, again, our track is ready to start on June 7th. And I heard you guys talking about COVID precautions and things. Again, things are so different now than what they were a year ago when we were racing at Dresden. We have qualifiers this weekend. Our backs are so. First of all, for the first time, and this is going to be so weird, I will be calling races to no fans that are live. So that's going to be very, very, very strange. But we understand the steps that have to be taken to have racing. We have in southwestern Ontario. We have tremendous horse people. They work so hard and bring great, great animals to the track. And even though we're a smaller track, we're listed as a B track. They're there. We have great drivers: Tyler Borth, Mark Saloui, all these young drivers. Nick Stewart come and they just put on a great show all the time at Dresden. And Garrett Rooney's there. And it's just they work so hard. So the reason. The province of Ontario has allowed racing is basically to get these folks a chance to earn their living. And I spoke with MPP, who's a member of provincial parliament here in Ontario, kind of like a state legislator in the States. And I spoke with him. He's our representative. And I talked to him. He has a portfolio. He is the Minister of Infrastructure here in Ontario, and Monty McNaughton's his name. He actually really battled hard for racing in Ontario to get us back going because he's, Dresden Raceway, Hiawatha Horse Park are in his zone. So the province of Ontario has opened it up, no fans, strict backstretch COVID-19 precautions. Our protocols include screening test, temperature before you get into the backstretch. As well, once you are in the backstretch, you have to wear a mask. Stay social distanced within 6 feet of anybody. We have a 3-race paddock, and we're only going to be going one race out of the paddock. As well, our staggered, we're lucky, we're fortunate, we have a great barn area that is fairly large with our shipping barns and other barns. So, but we're allowing horses to stagger. You have to go on the left side, 1, 3, 5, and on the right side, 2, 4, 6. So that's how our protocols are in place through our Minister of Health here, and our local medical officer, too, just to make sure that everybody's away.
You've got all your T's crossed and I's dotted.
You betcha.
We want you to tell our fans, tell us your race schedule.
So we start racing on June 7th is our first day. And
that's Sunday.
We will race all Sundays in June. In July, we will race the first 2 Sundays in July, and the third week we race on a Thursday night. It was scheduled to be the opening of our exhibition of our fair, a 4-day fair here, and because of COVID, the fair has been canceled, but we still have our race date on July 23rd, and then we come back and we will race August 2nd, which is a Monday, and it's a holiday up here, a civic holiday, and hopefully, we'll hopefully be able to at least open the door to some fans, 200, 300, I don't know. But that is our schedule, Sunday afternoon. We usually have 11 days. We're always looking for more. But this year, because of COVID, our May days were canceled. And so what happened in Ontario is because those days were canceled, our purse monies that were scheduled for the horse people, and we race for about 45 to 50,000 a day. That mm-hmm. was put into a pot. And horse people in Ontario received checks from that
right.
X number of dollars per horse, and they broke it down for different horses and ownership packages. So you would receive money, trainers would receive money for however many horses that they had. So
So that's for the racing fans that are able to watch races via Twin Spires, TVG, yeah. Day at the Races, Idabet, all those places, they need to look for Dresden because that's going to be one of the first tracks, especially on a Sunday afternoon, harness racing for fans to bet on.
You know, it's a perfect day. We have, and we're a half-mile track. I just want to let you know we're a half-mile track, and those will be the days. Those are the places that we're signing up with that you mentioned. And we want you to be able to bet on a great product. Check out our pregame show as well. We're going to make sure we do that. It's www.dresdenraceway.ca is our website. And we're sprucing that up right now, getting ready for opening day. And as well, we're on a Facebook page, Dresden Raceway. We're on Dresden Raceway on Twitter, Instagram. So we've got social media pretty much covered. You know, we haven't done anything on TikTok yet, but that's coming maybe. So we've got some, and we just have it's a family atmosphere when you're at the track. And but back in the 80s, we would bet live handles of anywhere on like a Wednesday night where we are low nights, we were racing four nights a week, we bet live between 80 and 100,000. And then on Sunday afternoons, we would bet anywhere from 110 to 140,000 live handle. So again, it's a very storied history at Dresden Raceway, entrenched in Ontario racing and in harness racing in the world.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Scott, we've awful got you awful quiet there. I don't know if you have any questions for Gary.
Does that happen?
Not often. Gary, I'm just kind of wondering. I said that is must be some facility that you have here to get named the Little Saratoga. You must have during your race meet a lot of things that go on. And if we didn't have the COVID, would you have like? Bands or, special events, during that time?
We do. We had so many things set up for this year that were just wonderful. Like for this weekend, we're having qualifiers to no fans. This weekend was supposed to be our salute to emergency services. We had Coast Guard helicopter. We had our mobile command unit from the police department. Different fire units were going to be in attendance. Our paramedic service was going to have ambulances on display. Our Ontario Provincial Police, kind of like a state police in the States, they were bringing in their rollover, special rollover. We had a special mounted unit to come in and do a musical ride. And that we had something like that planned for every Sunday, every race day, including on July 23rd. We had a $25,000 giveaway planned. But it's just, and it's sad that we can't put all this into motion because, and that's what we are. We're like when we did Ontario's Little Saratoga, that was back from the 1970s. When we got when we built a new grandstand, they dubbed it Ontario's Little Saratoga because it was a family fun place and more than just racing. It was like a tradition of bringing your family to the track and enjoying the day. And that's what we are. We have, we had so many things. We have a big ladies' day planned this year with, one of our local wineries that we had planned that, that we're going to be coming out and, they have the old, of course, that's the when you wear your beautiful hats and dresses and, it just there's so much like to mirror the Kentucky Derby. There's so much that we have planned, and again, I understand the protocols of being safe and in the interest of keeping our vulnerable population safe. That has all been postponed, but our province, our premier has been spot on. He's been very active and very vocal at trying to do the right thing, and I know it's so different in the United States because. Some states are open, some states are closed, and some people disagree and agree. But we've been pretty much unified in our province. And as much as we'd like to see more, we understand why there's not. And we're very thankful that we have harness racing starting at Dresden Raceway on June 7th.
Gary, let me ask you about the horse population. I mean, are you going to be able to have full qualifying races like they're having at Mohawk? Will horses that don't get in at Mohawk be coming to you?
We probably won't. We'll have a few that don't get in at Mohawk that might come down and race at Dresden. Their purse structure, of course, is larger. Like I said, we race for around 45,000 a day, and so some of the smaller horses. So we might get some maidens that would normally race up that way. There's a couple of other smaller tracks that are opening as well here, which is nice. But our horse population is very so what happened in Ontario back in 2012 when the then Liberal government, Dalton McGuinty was the premier at the time, they backed out of a deal called Slots at Racetrack Program, and basically after they signed a new, they had a new memorandum of understanding, the horsemen had signed it, and there was another 7-year deal, and the Liberal government at the time just yanked it right out from under them, and it was just unbelievable that it happened. So some of our breeders got out of the business, and people left, and horses were euthanized. It was just terrible back in 2012. So other states, they're looking at that. Hang on as much as you can, because you will bounce back. But what happened with that is our horse population depleted. Thank goodness we're close to the border. We did have some Michigan horses coming over, which was very nice. And we do have some Michigan trainers that enjoy Dresden Raceway. And so the horse population will have qualifiers starting this week, but Ontario has backed up to, if your horse has raced anytime from February, like they've got it from your date is now February 1st rather than 45 or 60 days. It's February 1st. If you've had a clean line since February 1st, you're good to go. And so, which is nice. That allows more horses to be ready to go, but we are having qualifiers this Sunday. We'll have our draw for qualifiers later today, and so we'll know, but I'm sure we'll have probably 5 or 6 qualifiers, full fields on Sunday.
Well, is your vocal cords ready?
I'm ready to rock and roll. I've been ready, as you know, I've been ready for this my whole life. I've been announcing for 30 years. And Steve, you've heard me a couple times down at Pompano back in the day.
Yes.
A real funny story. So, Scott, when I was down there, Joe Ricci was announcer. And, so one day Joe says, come on up and announce a race tonight. I said, sure, no problem. You know, we're on the golf course. And so I went up, and the guy who announced the race before me was none other than the Velvet Fog, Frank Salive. And I looked at Ricky and said, what are you doing to me? You're killing me here. Making me announce after this guy. He goes, don't worry, I got another guy coming up after. So I announced after Frank, and the guy who walked in to announce the race after me was Roger Houston. And I looked at Ricky and said, man, you owe me some Krispy Kremes, brother. I got to have some. So it was, but my vocal cords are ready. I'm ready to rock. I've been doing this for 30 years, and I'm very excited.
Gary, what's your biggest race up there during your meet? Do you have like a grand finale or, you know, a headline, you know, that you point to during the meet?
Yeah, we have a couple. This year we have, of course, we have our series for maidens, the Mark Austin Memorial, about a local trainer. And Mark was a great guy. He got a start at Dresden, did a lot of work with Jack Darling, and good friends with Jack Darling. So we have the Mark Austin Memorial, and so that will go our eliminations. For that, start on June 28th. We have an elimination June 28th, one on July 5th. The final will go for around 15,000, and that will be on the night or the 12th of July. And then we'll have the following week, we'll have our Ken Houston Memorial. Ken Houston was a former NHL player from Chatham, Kent. People in Philadelphia don't like him. He's the guy back in 75 who broke Dave Schultz's jaw. And the doctor, he passed away a couple years ago. And so we have a memorial race for Ken Houston. That'll be the same thing, $12,500 final for that. And we have Ontario Sire Stakes, and we have a new prospect series up here for those horses that are good enough to get to the Sire Stakes but aren't those world beaters, and that maybe as 4 or 5 year olds they'll come along and make some decent money. We have three prospect series at Dresden as well, so.
Well, I think this is great, and we want to wish you the best of luck this season, Gary, because I know you've gone through an awful lot to be able to reach the point and be able to have racing come back again. So we can hope for full fields and plenty of simulcast revenue coming in, and we want to thank you for being our special guest today.
Oh, you know what? Thank you. I really appreciate it. And, guys, you have a wonderful day. Stay safe out there, and we'll definitely talk soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Gary, for coming on.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Steve, there's Canada.
We might have to to make a trip up there sometime this summer.
There you go. I think it would be great. I've not been to ever to Dresden. I've only been to Woodbine Racecourse. I haven't even been to Mohawk in all my years, but you know, back in the day when they used to race a lot. But there's a lot of tracks, you know, between Flamborough Downs and the Raceway with Western Fair, and of course Dresden, and then Hanover, and you know, there's racing is so embedded up there. We're just glad to see them being able to come back and race, whereas Pennsylvania and New Jersey is getting close. Go ahead.
One thing I like, Gary said, he was working close with the government officials and the local officials. And, you know, that really goes a long way. You know, it sounds like they sat down at the table and they figured it out, and now they're, you know, implementing their program. And, you know, I think that goes a long way on getting everything back on the right road.
I agree with you. I totally agree. I wanted to again say the only tracks right now that are really getting hammered are the ones in Pennsylvania and, you know, hopefully New Jersey, now that they've got the protocols in place, that they'll be able to get qualified, and that in the next week or so, Governor Murphy there is going to give the okay for fanless racing. But down the road, Scott, it's going to reach a point where all these tracks that start coming back again, that's great for the horsemen. It's great that they're able to race for, you know, and get purse money and start their livelihood again. The trouble is, where are all the fans, you know, going to wager their money? Are they going to, you know, stick with this track? Is there going to be enough handle for these smaller tracks to eke out a living, you know, on just simulcast revenue?
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting talking about the smaller tracks. Keeneland, it's a premier thoroughbred track, 30 days in the spring, 30 in the fall. And, you know, everybody loves to go there. And the state of Kentucky approved I believe it's 5 days they're going to race, you know, there at Keeneland. And they're going to see how that goes. You know, and it just goes to show you, if you sit down and get the plan like they did, you know, Gary has done there, you know, it can happen anywhere, you know. And I think you're exactly right. We need to get the racing in back and get the cash flowing to, you know, the owners, the trainers, and you know, everybody involved.
Well,
okay, Steve, we got a great person online now. Her name is Denise Molina. She owns and operates Golden Gate Riding Stables in Delray Beach, Florida, which is here at Sunshine Meadows. And she has horses for any and every ability, any size, any talent. She's really good at what she does. Denise, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How's everyone doing this afternoon?
We're doing great.
Good to
but
hear.
But we want to hear more about you and Golden Gate.
Okay, well, Golden Gate is in Delray Beach. Like Scott said, we're at the beautiful Sunshine Meadows facility, which sits on 180 acres. So Golden Gate is in the back. We have a beautiful setting. We're waterfront. Can you imagine waterfront in West Delray? We do trail rides, we do lessons, we do sales. We're actually running a summer camp now, June 1st to July 31st. We are, you know, adhering to the CDC and only 10 children, but we're out in the open. Can't get better than that. Out in the sunshine.
Right.
So, and like
Denise,
I say, we do,
Tell me, you have horses there in your riding stable for all levels. I know you guys have shown, done a lot of showing sometimes, but like for the average person, if they were to come in, never ridden before, would you be able to accommodate them?
Absolutely. We have a lot of first-timers that want to see if they like it to continue on. We have a lot of bucket list people. I think we did have one lady, she was turning 105. Never ridden a horse. It was on her bucket list. So we accommodated her, took her around. She had a blast. So it was, it's all, we are here to serve the public. Anything and anything that they need, we can accomplish for them, whether it's a one-time ride or go on to showing.
I actually saw a picture of you guys doing, it was pretty popular on Facebook. I think, but I saw it on regular national news about the 105-year-old woman who wanted to ride a horse, and I think that's wonderful what you guys did.
Yeah, it was a little scary, I can't lie, but it was all good. She couldn't stop smiling. So that's, it's nice. You know, we do some children too, because it does help a lot with the special needs.
Right.
I'm not a therapist or anything, but just the simple fact to have them on the horse helps tremendously for some of these children.
Absolutely. It's hippo therapy, they call it.
Yes, exactly. However, I don't do the hippo because I'm not a therapist. However, I can put them on a horse, you know, with but yes, it's phenomenal.
You know, Denise, you're talking about the 105-year-old lady. Something happened out here the other day that just really, it made my day, and you were a part of it. You were walking, and you were at least a half a mile away from your barn, and you had a very young kid on there. I'd say probably 5 or 6 years old.
She's riding now as we speak.
Yeah.
She is out again.
And when she was walking down the road and I stopped and I said, hi, and how was the riding going? That little kid smiled from ear to ear, and she was so enthusiastic. And here I'm thinking, you know, like in your day, your busy day, here you are over a half a mile away from your barn, and you're one-on-one with this girl walking her down, you know, a trail. And that just made my day. And so I'm glad to hear that she's back, because she's probably there for life.
Yeah, I think so. She's a good little rider. Obviously now with this COVID-19 thing, you know, parents are wanting to get their kids out into the open and not in enclosed air conditioned areas. So I'm getting a lot of the kids coming out and just enjoying, like I said, the barn has the most beautiful setting. It's just a nice family oriented place to come out. And then hopefully if some of those people want to buy a horse or something, we can do that as well. We do, you know, we do have some horses for sale. I like, you know, to know the people first, so we set them up correctly. And then, heck, they can board with me. It's a lifetime opportunity and a lifetime commitment,
right.
You know.
How about someone like myself who keeps hearing about this cattle drive up in northern Florida, which is about a year and a half away, where they're going to drive a few hundred head of cattle, I guess about 60 miles. So I can come out to you and relearn how to ride again, and maybe
absolutely.
Be in shape for that sale or
yes.
for that cattle drive, because
yes.
I'm looking into that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have quite a few people that are going to go to, say, to a dude farm or a dude ranch, and they don't want to mm-hmm. be at the beginner level or sitting and watching. So they'll come to me for a good 6 months in advance to learn how to ride. That way, when they get there, they're good to go.
Well, I think that's excellent. And I have to tell everyone on your behalf that if you want to look up and see everything that they do, you go to GoldenGateRidingStable.com.
Correct. And the gate,
they have
G-A-I-T.
A wonderful website. Correct. It's not like the fence you close.
Right.
It's the gate of the horse.
Yes,
but
exactly.
You're right, and it's important to tell that to people. But, yes, Golden Gate Riding Stables.com. Check it out. They have tons of pictures there, boarding, everything that you guys do. And we're glad to hear that you're able to work. You're able to get kids outside, especially for young people. If their parents are looking for something that's going to be safe and not indoors, you guys have it.
Right, absolutely. And with the horses, it teaches them responsibility. It covers the gamut, everything you need. Hard work, responsibility. Everything.
Denise, tell us a little bit about the animals that you have there that aren't of the horse flesh.
Well, we have some chickens. We have roosters. We have the most gorgeous mini rooster. His name is Paco. We have a goat. And we have a pot-belly pig named Penelope.
Well, so on top of getting to ride horses, you've got a petting zoo, too.
In essence, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's all part of the whole thing, you know?
Well, does the goat and the horses, pig and everyone, do they interact with the horses?
Actually, the goat does. The goat does interact. It picks who it likes, but all the horses are very comfortable around the goat, and it goes from stall to stall. The pig kind of stays to itself pretty much, but the horses are used to her as well. My horses are very well seasoned, so they are used to nothing much phases them. Everything's in the shed row. We have fresh eggs. Anybody's interested?
One of the things I like back there is Pete, an alligator out in the lake out there by your barn.
We haven't seen him for a little bit.
Goes,
yes. Yeah, we do get out. We're so close to the Everglades, which makes us very scenic as well. All the birds and stuff. Yes, we do have alligators that come in every once in a while. They don't stay too long, thank God. They don't stay too long, so.
Well, as long as some chickens stay away.
Denise, there's another thing I wanted to ask you, too. What about your birthday parties that you have for the kids, you know, and stuff
that? Yep, we have several packages for the birthdays. The people love it. You know, there's not, when you go to all these other places, there's a limit on the rooms that the parties are in. You have 2 hours. The only limit I have out here is the use of the horses, but they're welcome to stay on the property back at my barn for as long as they like. Parents can relax, kids run around. By the time it's all said and done, you know, they all go home, take showers, and go to bed. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Now, when does your summer camp start?
The summer camp starts June 1st, and it runs through July 31st. The kids can come for a week. They can come for a day. We're open rain or shine, because even if it's raining, we still have lots to teach them.
Well, it sounds like everything's going good for you back there. I know every time I come back there, if I go too slow in the Kubota, that goat tries to ride with me.
he does like to ride.
Yeah. And one of the things I like about it back there is you and your staff that you have there. All the kids all have smiles on their face, you know, and they don't want to leave at the end of the day. And, you know, there's just so much for them out there. And you know, anything we can do to help you, fill those camps up and do, you know, we're certainly willing to do that, because it's all about the horse business, you know. It's all horses, not just, you know, thoroughbreds or standardbreds.
Absolutely. We all have to support one another.
Yeah. Now, do you ever travel internationally to do anything horse-wise, or do you play polo, or do you show, or?
We do. We do go to just neighborhood. We haven't gone to Tron or anything big like that. We've maintained just local shows here, whether it be Jim Brandon, Parkland, or Plantation. But we have the ability to go wherever. If somebody chooses to go big time, we have that ability to do that. We can go wherever anybody wants to go. And as far, we can take you as far as you'd like to go as well.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that sometimes that you have people that come down from up north to stable with you for, you know, for a while, and they ride down here. Do you have that available? You know, like say if somebody's listening up in Kentucky and they want to come down for the winter for a couple of weeks and
stable
some horses with you, right?
Provided I have the stalls, we do offer a seasonal board, yes.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you cover everything there.
Everything. We can do seasonal board. We can do rehabs. You name it. We have the ability to do it. Like I say, this facility is fantastic. We have vets in and out all the time, blacksmiths. You know, we don't have to generally wait one phone call and they're here right away.
Right. Well, I've seen you doing some of the rehabs down, out there. And, you know, that's a fantastic service there, because I know one thing for sure, no matter how many horses you have, you're hands-on with all your horses.
Absolutely.
And I see that all the time.
I like what I do. Thank goodness.
Well, that means everything, as long as you're you can get up in the morning and say, oh boy, I got kids coming today or this
right.
or that happening. Makes it all worthwhile.
It definitely does. Yes. No. Yeah. It's never a job, right? If you like what you do, isn't that what they say? It's not a job.
What time do you and your crew get started in the day?
My groom, he's the first one, so he starts feeding around 6:30, doing stalls and whatnot. And then my schedule starts at 9, so I'm usually here around 8:30. And then we just work our way through.
Good, good. And what's also great about it is you're teaching the kids, but they're doing your work.
Yes. In essence, yes.
Yes. It's not a bad, it's like almost an internship in return for some money and a little hard work, they get an experience of a lifetime, and it's well
absolutely.
Worth it.
Absolutely, and they're very appreciative of it. So it works. Now, it works very well.
You can come out as an individual and ride, and you don't have to ride in a group, do you? You can come out and ride as an individual.
I don't group people together. It would be individual, whether it's one person or whomever you bring out.
Right, right. Well, we hope to get you some people out there and get you some, you know, groups going and the lessons. But everybody's got to come out and just to visit with you. If they could just do that, I guarantee you, if you come out to Golden Gate Riding Stable, just to take a visit and see the place, I guarantee you will schedule a lesson and you will be back within a week to take that lesson. And
we
got to get people out to see you.
Yes, that would be, and we also have an on-staff photographer.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Anybody wants, we've done wedding proposals, well, marriage proposals, we've done prom pictures, we've done a lot of portfolios.
Oh, that would be nice, especially with not having graduation.
Right,
you could
exactly.
maybe wear your cap and gown out and get on a horse and get your picture taken.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Steven, you got any more questions for Denise?
No. In fact, I'm going to plan hopefully and come out one morning just to check and see everything, because I think this is super, and I need to, as they say, get back in the saddle again.
Perfect. Love to have you.
It's easy to... let me ask you, have you ever sat behind a horse and driven them? Like
yes,
the,
sir.
The hundreds?
I've trained.
Okay.
I've trained babies, and I've driven, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you can understand that, but it's quite a bit different to get on top of one as opposed
it
to
is,
sitting behind
but,
them.
But I trust them better on top. I know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. in the dog car, you don't feel a whole lot.
Denise, tell him where you were an outrider, right?
At Pompano for a little bit, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, she's been around. See, that's why you got to go to Golden Gate, because, you know, she's been there and done that, and she's good with everybody.
We got it. Yeah, well, I'm going to be out to see you, that's for sure.
Part, so I'm not that old.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, Denise, we want to thank you for being on the show. We'll have you back again. And, you know, we want everybody to come out to see you and, go to your website and let them know that you're coming out to visit with them.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, guys, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're great.
We're glad to have you.
Thank you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you guys soon.
Okay.
Okay. You too. Bye now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Boy, Steve, I tell you what. That Golden Gate, they're good out there, because when I saw that little girl the other day, you know, never been on a horse, and all of a sudden, you know, this girl is just beaming, you know, and she's walking out, and she's doing like all the big girls are doing, and then to find out, you know, that she's back again this week. You know, that says a lot for Denise and what she does there at Golden Gate.
No, absolutely. Now, but while we're talking, another flash came in Illinois. They were having qualifying races, Hawthorne Racecourse, and they have now been approved. Their first qualifiers are June 1st and then June 3rd. and they're looking to start racing on June 6th, if possible. You know, and I'm sure they'll be able to fill the field. So there's another track, you know, not just Hoosier out there, but once again, it's all these states are have the COVID-19 protocols in place, and they're allowing racing except for Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, so Steve, speaking of Hoosier there, are they still on schedule for the Breeders' Crown?
Oh, yes. Nothing has changed from that. In fact, right now, none of the big Triple Crown races, unlike the Thoroughbreds, have had to change their dates. In other words, the Hamiltonian will be the second Saturday in August, just on schedule. The Little Brown Jug will be the third Thursday. The Breeders' Crown at Hoosier Park will be at the end of October. All those dates are still set, and whether they're fanless racing or they'll be able to have fans by then, which I would think by that time period, everything else is still on schedule. In fact, provided the Meadowlands is able to begin racing, which they should because they've got qualifiers, then come June and July, you'll have the Meadowlands pace and all those top stake races are going to take place.
Right. Well, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine in Lexington yesterday, and we were talking about the breeding aspect of, how it's affected the breeding, and the racing being delayed and all. And he said, it is going to have somewhat of an effect because, usually if you get a precocious two-year-old, coming up and you're pointing towards the Derby and he does very well, it's really good. But with the Derby and the Belmont and the Preakness being shoved down to the fall, you're getting a three-year-old that his season could be seasoned and he's older and, he's more of a, more of a man than he is a young kid. And,
right. It's September.
Tough.
It's not the first week of May. It's September.
Right.
So now, please let me know because I'm having trouble keeping a scorecard. The Thoroughbred Triple Crown. We know September 5th is the Derby.
Right.
When's
right.
the? And, we have a date for the Preakness?
Yes, we do. We have the Preakness is going to be here on June 20th is the Belmont Stakes. The Derby September 5th and October 3rd is the Preakness.
So it's been completely changed around.
Right, completely changed around. And, the Preakness is still going to be the middle leg. The Belmont's going to be the first one, June 20th. And then, you come back with September 5th for the Derby.
I'm just looking at it from distance-wise. Instead of building up to that mile and a half at the Belmont, they got to hit that first. And I know that...
Well, let me tell you...
Go ahead.
It's eliminated a lot of horses. It's eliminated because, let me tell you, after you hit that mile and a half at Belmont, that drains your horse. And most of the trainers, after you run to Belmont... Well, first of all, you don't see that many horses in the Belmont,
which could change this year.
Short field, and so when you have it on June 20th, you gotta start thinking about, the Derby, which is September 5th, and you gotta rest your horse up. How do you get him, bring him back down, to a mile and a quarter, and then you're looking
well,
at
don't,
the Preakness.
Don't tell him. Don't tell him until he's done with the race and say, oh, you can pull up now. We don't have to go.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. They don't know. I feel bad for you, Bub. I'm not going to make you go a mile and a half, just a mile and an eighth. or a mile and a quarter. But, it throws things around. And, from the breeding aspect of it, the problem is, usually you've had this yardstick for over 100-plus years of how you measure, your horse as a stallion. How do you do in the Derby? There's a 20-horse field. He ran fifth, but he performed well. You come back, you win the Preakness, you know, in a 12-horse field. You know, you did good. And then you come back to the Belmont, and you run in an 8-horse field, you know, and you win that. So, you know, you got a horse that can carry speed and can carry a distance, mm-hmm. you know, with him, which is tough. And I know Bob Baffert said this morning, he said he had two, possibly three for the, you know, for the Triple Crown this year. And it's my understanding that he's only going to run one in the Belmont. So, you know, that's telling me that he's probably going to try to secure the Preakness and the Derby, you know, with other horses, and then try to single out one horse for the Belmont.
Now you've opened up a Pandora's box by mentioning the name of Bob Baffert. The Arkansas Derby, he wins both divisions, and then the horses come up positive. Has that been straightened out?
Well, they're still working on that. There's a lot of issues with some of the things that they have, you know, that the horses could have gotten into it accidentally. There's all kinds of theories. And Steve Asmussen was another one that tested positive, you know, and so there's a lot they're looking at right now. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what comes of this.
I mean, in theory, could Baffert be suspended and not be able to be the trainer of these horses that are in his stable? Or he's going to have to give them to somebody else? Or I don't know what could happen.
I don't think so, Steve, because the two horses, he won both divisions of the Arkansas Derby, and he's only got one pointed towards the Belmont. So, you know, I think it's going to be one of those ongoing things of, you know, how it happened, you know, what it was, you know, that type of thing. Just as long as he doesn't have any more horses come up positive, you know, because it throws the theory out of, well, you know, it was in the feed. I know one time they had a trainer here in Florida, and he started testing positive. And this was a guy that had been, you know, in the business 40 years and never had any positive test. And they could not figure out where it was. So they got to investigating, and they found out that at the feed mill where they were mixing his feed at, that they had mixed cattle feed prior to the mixing of his feed. And they didn't have the chutes and the bins cleaned out, you know, properly. And that's how they tested positive. It came back and vindicated him.
That happened to a very good trainer driver by the name of Jimmy Groff in harness racing in Pennsylvania many years ago. And it took quite some time for Jimmy to be able to get with the feed company and go through everything and to find out that the exact same thing had happened. And that's why his horses, you know, all of a sudden were coming up positive, and then in less than 30 days, they had nothing in their system again, feed-wise. But it took him over a year to get the feed company to finally come forward and admit in court that it was their error in mixing some of that cow feed with the horse feed.
Right. Well, you know, with Bob's situation and Asmussen's situation, you know, I think it's one of those things that, you know, they're going to really investigate and find out what it's all about because, you know, these subpoenas that they had sent out and the people that they had, you know, that they're following now in the thoroughbred and standardbred business, you know, is getting interesting. So I don't know what's going to happen. We'll know in the next week or so. You know, what's going on because all these nominations are coming up and, you know, the owners have to know, you know, what's going on, you know, with their horses. And I do know one thing, that all the horses that have tested positive, if they've changed trainers or gone somewhere else, they put them on a 14-day quarantine. To get any and everything out of their system you know, and then they test them again to see, you know, just what it is or what it was. And
gotcha.
That's going to be very interesting to see. And then
have you heard of any other thoroughbred tracks that are reopening?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I was just looking at my list here today. Louisiana Downs, they're coming up. They're going to be opening up. We have that was really good for Louisiana. Del Mar's opening up in California. They got their summer schedule ready to go. Of course, we got Churchill, Fawner, Gulfstream, Lone Star, Los Alamitos is starting to
quarter
make
horses.
Headway. Yeah, quarter horses, you know, there. Of course, Tampa's open. Weber Downs, Will Rogers, and Fairmont Park. You know, with,
there you go.
The Trotters open
well, poor,
up.
Poor
in
Tampa
Illinois.
Bay and, yeah. And Gulfstream's gravy train is going to be slightly come to an end. What were you telling me? They bet at Gulfstream on the first race is over $700, almost $800,000.
Yeah, the first race was $710,000. The second race is $544,000. And the third race is $550,000. So, you know, they've already bet, you know, close to $2 million in the first three races at Gulfstream.
Wow. Wow, that's unbelievable. But yeah, as more of these tracks open, they'll have to share
yeah.
that the disposable income, which I know is strong for these few tracks that are open. But that's because they're the only
right.
it's the only bets you can make in most of the world. I mean, they're not doing anything. There's no baseball. There's no hockey. I mean, they keep talking about this mini playoff seasons and stuff, but.
Right.
You know, and until I see it on TV, you know, I don't know it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, you know what, you know, Steve, you're exactly right in the speaking of things opening up. Next week, on next week's show, we're going to go back and touch base with Foxley Farms over in Sarasota. They're getting ready to do their open up for their first shows that they have. The Show Horse World is getting ready to start, you know, showing all across the country. And
right, and that'll be fanless, of course.
Right, right. It's all fanless.
Right, just the,
but, you know,
just the judges and the participants.
Yeah, and not to knock on dressage, but, you know, dressage, a lot of people don't like it because it's, you know, it's not exciting like the jumping or the racing or everything. And they said that... It didn't affect this virus hasn't affected dressage at all because they don't have any fans. And also, well, Steve, I guess we're getting close to the end of our show here today. You know, I think we had a good one. Now, I want all of our listeners to be sure to check out BBS because they got a lot of new projects and programs coming up.
That's right. It's BBS.com. Easy to get to.
Yeah, bbsradio.com.
There you go.
We got to get them on it and find out, you know, what all they have. And like I said, if the virus is getting to you, go to BBS Radio. You know, you won't get bored there. They got everything.
Oh, they got so many channels and all going on.
Oh, I know. Steve, thanks for everything, buddy. Stay safe.
It was good. It was another good show in the bag.
Yeah, we'll get you out here riding and, you know, get you ready for that cattle drive. You got your hat ready?
No, I have to get a new hat. I got to get new boots, and I got to ride some. That's all. I mean, I haven't ridden a horse in probably 40 years, but I've been behind a few in my day. So whether or not that, as she said, you have a lot more control riding them. So, but the,
exactly.
Aside from that, you also have a lot longer way to go to the ground if you fall off.
Well, get with Denise out at Golden Gate Riding Stables there in Delray, and we'll get you all trained and revved up to go and, you know, get on that cattle drive. Do you like to eat beans? I think they eat beans on that cattle drive.
I will. I'll eat plenty of them, and nobody, and then our social distancing won't be a problem.
All righty, Steve. Well, we'll look
forward
to next
week.
And thanks, everybody, for making the show go good.